This is Sefa Lufau, former Colorado Buffaloes quarterback, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KSKA.
Minutes after the 1 o'clock hour, joining me now on our First Advantage Hotline, Brian Howell, our Buff Zone insider here. Brian, my man, always great to catch up with you. Hey, what's new in your world? Not much, huh?
Nothing. It's been a pretty quiet week.
It's a pretty quiet week, you know, no big name coaches or anything like that. What a crazy Sunday, Brian. I mean, the Buffs, they took over. The Broncos got pretty, like... Fans went away at 1:30, not going to watch the Broncos, even though I think they were winning at 1:30, to go watch the Deion Sanders, the Coach Prime press conference, man.
Yeah, I had to look up who this Deion guy was. Yeah, I mean, it was pretty bizarre that, I don't know if bizarre is the right word, but I mean, that press conference was unlike anything I've ever been a part of. I mean, just, it wasn't really a press conference. It was, but it was. And, you know, there was former players there, alumni, donors, the regents were there. Like, there's all these people, and, you know, the press was like a small fraction of the people that were in there. And, you know, I mean, he walks in the building, and it's like just, you know, the place erupts. And, you know, every time he makes a joke, everybody's laughing. And, you know, they're celebrating half the stuff that he and, you know, Rick George and Philip Stefano are saying. And, like, is this a press conference, or am I, like, at a comedy show or whatever? You know, what's going on here? But... Yeah, it's been a circus. I think it will be somewhat of a circus the whole time Deion's here.
You know, again, we talk about press conferences, and we always say, you know, it's not really hard to – or it's hard to lose a press conference because everyone's in the honeymoon phase. There's a new guy there. It's all good. But, man, like you said, this is unlike anything you've witnessed, unlike anything I've heard, just for the simple fact of the honesty. I mean, hearing him talk to his players, and I know that wasn't necessarily part of the press conference, but it was televised, so to speak, for us. We all saw it on Twitter, and he flat out told his players, certain players, hey, go ahead and enter that transfer portal. I'm telling you, Brian, I know it rubbed people the wrong way, some people the wrong way. But I kind of think it's refreshing because coaches are saying this stuff behind closed doors anyway. Might as well hear what they're saying.
Yeah, you know, I get that part of it. The two things I didn't like about it was I thought that, you know, for your first meeting with the team, I thought maybe be a little more upbeat and say, man, I'm excited to be here. Can't wait to get started. And then do that maybe the second time. And the other thing was I didn't really like that it was filmed and put out on social media for everybody to see this team kind of being shell-shocked, you know, by Deion Sanders. But, you know, in a lot of ways, you're right. I mean, it's refreshing. There was another video that, you know, all those videos, by the way, are posted by Deion's son, Deion Jr., who's got a, you know, media company, and he's got this YouTube page. And he posted a second video today, like it's a few hours ago, of Deion meeting with the special teamers. And it was much more like what I had hoped to hear. It was kind of like, hey, I'm excited to get started. You guys ready to compete? Because if you don't want to compete, then, you know, you don't want to be here anyway. But, you know, he was very upbeat and saying, hey, let's go. You know, let's compete. So I kind of like that other one better.
Yeah, you know, right.
But certainly it's different. It's not something we see before from other coaches.
So you hearing that then, you know, again, the first portion of the player meeting with the cameras on and building the documentary, Is there cause in your brain, Brian, for some red flags? Or is this, I mean, we're all hearing that this could be, you know, I think Rick George and Deion Sanders, like, they're planning to turn this thing around as soon as next year. Coming from your brain, Brian, is there some red flags sticking out to you?
Well, I think red flag might be too strong of a term. And there's definitely some question marks, you know, like, how is this really going to work? Because he is so different. There's no question that he is going to bring energy to this program. He's already creating, you know, buzz with ticket sales. You know, I've been doing radio all across the country this week, you know, because, you know, people want to talk Deion. And, you know, I'm not saying this to brag, but my Twitter followers have increased dramatically since Saturday because, you know, people are figuring out I cover Deion, right? So people are going to want to know about Deion Sanders. I don't know if there's red flags, but... I think there's concerns. He's only coached in college for three seasons, and he's coached at a much lower level. And so how does he actually do here?
I think that's the big question. I mean, yeah, you know, it's easy for me, you know, to kind of get blinded by all of it. You know, growing up watching this guy play football and then growing up watching him on ESPN and NFL Network and all the stuff, all the media, it's easy to get blinded. And then you got to take a step back and go, well, he's only coached for a few years. He doesn't have that much experience, but he did pack a punch in those 3 years.
Yeah, he really did. You know, there's no question he made a dramatic impact on Jackson State, which had six losing seasons before he got there, hadn't won the SWAC since 2007, and he's, you know, 20, I think it's 24 or 23-2 the last 2 years with two SWAC titles, and you know, he was the FCS Coach of the Year last year. He's a finalist for it this year, so yeah, he's made a pretty big impact, and that's what CU is banking on, I guess technically, with the money there that they're throwing at him. They're banking on him doing the same thing here.
Brian, what do we know about his coaching staff? And I know we're going to keep seeing news from the transfer portal and all that. I mean, he's tweeting about it, and I'm watching it. I'm looking at it. And, of course, he's saying, I'm coming. They're coming, too. What do we know about the coaching staff and any updates on that transfer portal so far?
Yeah, coaching staff, CU has not announced anything yet. But, you know, some of the assistants are actually, you know, out there, you know, posting that they're in Boulder. And then, you know, Tim Brewster, who I believe is going to be the tight end coach, used to be the tight end coach of the Broncos, used to be the head coach of the Minnesota Golden Gophers. He actually tweeted this morning he's heading out on the road recruiting. So nothing's been announced yet, but he's already out there working. Sean Lewis, who's been the head coach for 5 years at Kent State, is coming here as the offensive coordinator. There is some talk today, a lot of rumors that Mike Zimmer, the former Vikings head coach, is going to come here as the defensive coordinator. So, yeah, he's building a staff. There's several guys from Jackson State he's bringing along with him as well. So this is going to come together fairly quickly, it appears.
Mike Zimmer, wow, some big names, of course. Not many bigger than Deion Sanders, though. It's very difficult. What do you know about the old regime, Brian? You know, Mike Sanford, listen, everything you heard, I really liked him and was rooting for him, but, I mean, he was just put in a no-win situation when he took over this thing as interim head coach.
Yeah, he was, you know, and, you know, it's tough for him. You know, that whole staff basically was let go yesterday morning, you know, other than Darian Hagan, who is a CU legend. He's been the running backs coach. I don't know if he's still going to be the running backs coach or, you know, some other job within the athletic department. Rick George will always employ him, you know, because Darian Hagan's a legend. But the rest of that staff, including Mike Stanford, was let go yesterday. And the good thing is that those guys are under contract for at least another year. Mike Sanford's got 2 years left, and so they're taken care of in that regard. But, yeah, it's tough. I mean, he was put in a no-win situation, but he did a great job. I mean, he really galvanized that team, and they were, you know, especially grateful for what he did for them and bringing at least some joy to as much joy as you can have by losing by 30 points a week. You know, he was able to do that, and, you know, I commend him for that. I would have loved to have seen him up at UNC, but I do think UNC got a good coach, by the way.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Brian, you've heard the same stuff. There were rumors. I had people going, does Sanford make sense? I mean, does he make sense for the University of Northern Colorado? And, you know, I kind of thought about it. I was like, maybe it does. I wonder if he was ever really in any kind of consideration.
I believe he was. The problem with that is that he really couldn't interview until he was let go by Colorado because Colorado pays him more than UNC would pay. You know, he's supposed to make $700,000 next year, and UNC, I believe, paid Ed McCaffrey about $150,000 last year, something like that. So he couldn't walk away from that kind of money from CU. So he had to wait until he was let go, which didn't happen until yesterday, and UNC had to move quicker than that. But I believe Mike was interested. You know, he lives out in Frederick, which is where I live, and, you know, he didn't want to move his family again. So I think he would have jumped at the opportunity to at least interview and put his hat in the ring for the UNC job. But, you know, we'll see what he does from here.
Yeah, certainly that would have been an interesting name to throw around. Excited to see what Ed Lamb does for UNC. Press conference coming up this afternoon. Brian, my man, nobody does it better than you, and I'm glad to see people are like, oh, this guy's going to be covering Coach Prime Time throughout this whole thing. So I know we'll all be glued to following you on Twitter and such, man, but appreciate you so much for everything that you do. What are you working on that we can check out? Probably a lot of Prime Time stuff, huh?
Yeah, a little bit of primetime stuff, you know. you know, just there's lots of stuff going on. It's so fluid. It changes from day to day with all the rumors with the transfers and the coaching staff, things like that. So just kind of stay tuned to Buff Zone, and you know, whatever is the latest news, we'll have you get, covered there. So.
All right, my man. Brian, appreciate you so much for all you do. Let's catch you up soon, okay?
Sounds good.
All right, Brian Howell. See you, Buff Zone. Great guy. Mike Sanford. That was a name that I kind of heard. But it didn't work. You know, he wasn't going to be I don't know if there was any interest there, but it couldn't have worked because he was still employed by CU. So an interesting thing there. Dixon says, doesn't your fan base kind of deserve to know who you choose over who? I mean, is that common practice for colleges to say, hey, by the way, we interviewed this guy, this guy, and this guy, and these are the guys that we chose not to go with. Does that happen? Is that a common thing?
I'd say for bigger schools, you get that because you'll get more reporters like, oh, I'm rumored that this person's interview. Or you'll even have people like, oh, I saw a flight from California to wherever. This must be this person. Like, okay, we can all speculate, but we don't make the decision.
I know Scott Dartnell, who is the current, or he was or is, I don't know, he was interim at the end of this thing after McCaffrey's gone. I know he wanted the job. I'm guessing he got an interview. I can't confirm that, but he was your defensive coordinator. He's your interim head coach. I'm guessing if he wanted an interview, he got an interview. What I don't believe is that Jed Stugart or Marty English, I don't believe they were ever in consideration. I don't believe they got an interview. I don't believe they were contacted. That is what my sources are telling me.
Do you think Sanford, if given an offer to be an OC for UNC, do you think he'd take that?
I don't know. Brian and I talked about that because I talked to him yesterday, and we talked about that a little bit. I don't know if the money would make sense. He'd have to commute, so you'd have, you know.
Frederick's not NOCO.
It's not NOCO. So good luck
close,
with that.
Not quite.
I mean, he would be a nice name. He would have been a nice name for UNC. I don't know. Maybe. We'll learn more about Ed Lamb's staff today, too, I'm sure.
Definitely going to, because I know he's bringing the BYU cornerbacks coach to come coach DBs here at UNC.
Cool.
So that's one.
Wonder if he'll keep much of the old staff. Eddie Gonzalez is that name that keeps coming out because he played for the Bears.
Players like Eddie really could like just campaign himself and he could get it.
I mean, Coach Armour is another one.
He's a big recruiter for them.
He's a big recruiter, so he might get to stay. There might be some guys that stick around. Time will tell on Gel. 34 minutes after the hour, let's take a quick break. Let's get the latest on the local Sports Flash.